That's sure. like the best way I could.
So like a Paul W.S. Anderson Resident Evil movie is what you're saying, Tommy.
Yeah, I guess so.
There are similarities, Tommy. You cannot deny that there are similarities. There are everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two Asian Blokes Podcast, a podcast where we talk about Asian pop culture, films, TV shows, comic books, anime, music, food, video games, whatever we're feeling at the time, really. My name is Dan with H. With me, as always, is my co-host, Tavi. Hey, Tavi.
Hey, what's up? Covering another one of our favorites. Excited to talk about this one, the one and only Ma Dong-seok.
Yes, that's right. He's got a new movie out. Called Badland Hunters. Currently,
and he always seems to bring people to our channel, which is good. So
yeah, he's a popular man
about this guy,
and rightly
he's
so.
He's a popular dude.
And he seems lovely as well.
He's just a cool guy.
He's just a cool guy with a big punch. So we are going to talk about Badland Hunters eventually, but before we do that, Tavi, shall we do our sometimes reoccurring segment, what have we been watching?
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
There'll be time codes down below if you want to skip ahead straight to Badland Hunters. What have you been watching, Tavi? Hold that thought. I am going to close my window. One sec. Don't want the Mad Max sounds of the city outside to disrupt our recording, even though it would be fairly appropriate for this.
For the big Kibbutin theme.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
Well, last night I went to go watch The Iron Claw, which is another very manly movie. It's a movie about the Von Erich family from wrestling fame. I knew of them, but I'm not the biggest wrestling fan, so I don't know too much about the history, but I saw the trailer and I thought it looked pretty cool. Saw a lot of very jacked men. Jacked white men.
The only thing I know about this movie is that everyone is jacked and it's really sad.
Everyone is just like super fucking jacked. The two headliners are obviously Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White of The Bear fame, which I still haven't watched. I've seen that one episode, the one take episode, which everyone really loves. Yeah.
People seem to love that show.
It's a good episode.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it. It was definitely a lot more tragic than I expected going into it. I was like, man. Obviously, you know, a film is going to take some creative liberties, but the fact that all those events happened in the movie is just like, it's almost, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, I guess. So it's just like, yeah, it's kind of sad when you watch
kinda
it.
Sad.
It's kind of sad.
It sounds very sad from what I know of it.
I mean, I didn't cry during the movie. because I guess like that's a theme because dad's like, you know, you can't cry or whatever. It's a lot happens. It's a long movie, but I really like the that kind of 1970s nostalgic feel to it. And I think it's just a really good like American story. It has all the hallmarks of, you know, an American family growing up, you know, kids' ambitions and the American dream and going to parties and sticking out of the house and stuff. So I think it showcases like American culture, like in a good way. That's not grating, not like Bat Mitzvah, which I still think about here and there. That movie scarred me.
It seems like wrestling is a good kind of platform for telling really good American stories.
It really is.
Fucking The Wrestler, Peanut Butter Falcon. Is that what that movie's called?
Shia LaBeouf. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's really good too.
This one's not American, but there was that one with Florence Pugh in it, wrestling with my family.
Yeah,
the British one. Yeah, it's because I don't really like wrestling. wrestling as a subject in film, though, it's good. I think sports dramas I actually quite enjoy from time to time. There's just something about that genre that kind of just works for me. Because I've got very fond memories of watching, like, Remember the Titans back in the day. And, of course, like, you know, the Mighty Ducks and Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
It's not something you'll watch over and over again, but I definitely recommend it. I think it's a pretty easy watch. You know, it's long, but, you know, it wouldn't make sense if the movie was short because you need to feel the length of... It's an epic story of, like, this family. And, yeah, Zac Efron, his character's name is Kevin Von Erich, and how he's kind of at the center of it and always trying to go for the heavyweight belt, but, like, you know, accidents and tragedy strikes from, like, left, right, and center.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's funny because it doesn't seem like this would be, like, a plausible thing. It would seem like if this was a fictional story, it'd be like you put too much tragedy into it.
Yeah.
But it's like, damn, no, this actually happened.
Yeah.
I think they've moved the order around a bit of what had happened because I did a little bit of, like, Googling after, like, did this, like, really happen? And it did, but, like, I think... It's more dramatized than the movie. Right. But yeah, no, I think it's a pretty solid film. Yeah. and if you don't like wrestling, then you'd still like it because I don't like wrestling and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah,
because
it's got manly tears in it and everybody likes it. It's got all of
manly tears. Yeah.
Speaking of wrestling, I found out yesterday that Sakura from Le Sserafim was a pro wrestler before she became an idol. Did you know this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew that, actually. Man, yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah.
I got so much more respect for her after learning that.
Yeah, I think I watched a little bit of it on YouTube because I was into Sakura before she was in Le Sserafim.
When she was in IZONE? Is that?
Yeah. IZONE. But, no, I think I just stumbled across her one day. I think she was just doing a live stream of playing Resident Evil.
Oh yeah, she likes video games.
Village. So, yeah. Yeah. I was just like, oh, that's cool. I'll watch you play Resident Evil Village, and it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played the censored Japanese version.
boo to that.
Yeah, boo. Yeah.
Resident Evil might come up in this episode as well. I have a feeling.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Should we get to the main topic of today's episode?
Badland Hunters.
Badland Hunters. We'll do a little bit of non-spoilers before we drop some spoilers. We'll give you a spoiler warning before we do. Yes, this is a movie on Netflix starring one of our favorite Korean actors, Ma Dong-suk, and some other people. basically...
Holy shit. You told me, like, you had to do a synopsis, and I got the wiki up.
Yeah.
And it just says that this film is a sequel to Concrete Utopia.
Oh, which okay. Is like a we were just talking about that movie.
Yeah, we were just talking about that off-air before, how we should watch it. I had no idea that these movies were connected.
Man, we're finding connections all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. but, yeah, it's basically set in a post-apocalyptic world where Ma Dong-suk is... Ma Dong-suk, and he's
yes. Character's name is Nam San,
yeah,
like the Nam mountain.
And yeah, he basically has to go rescue this girl who is taken in by a cult from his village of sorts, and
like a settlement over there. So this is like a post-apocalyptic future, maybe.
Yeah, and over there, the villain is an evil doctor conducting experiments on people and turning them into lizard zombie people, and I'm still like pretty gobsmacked that Concrete Utopia is the same universe because they're both quite they look like very different.
Yeah, movies. We haven't seen Concrete Utopia, but do you know what it's about?
I know that it's about like a natural disaster that happens. I think it is about the initial like disaster that happens because there's the big earthquake, and I think it's all about that.
Yeah,
And I think Badland Hunters is just set in the aftermath.
Yeah, because Badland Hunters kickstarts with a big earthquake that happens. And that's kind of what causes this post-apocalyptic soul situation.
Yeah, it's interesting because Concrete Utopia looks like kind of like that Roland Emmerich drama.
Okay.
With a bit more like melodramatic elements. It doesn't look like it has any of the Resident Evil sci-fi elements, sure. But it is based on a webtoon. Yeah, I actually want to watch it now. I'm quite curious. Yeah, because it's just interesting because Badland Hunters, in a nutshell, is pretty much like a 1970s grindhouse movie, which has updated visuals. That's like the best way I can.
So, like a Paul W.S. Anderson Resident Evil movie is what you're saying, Tommy.
Yeah, I guess so.
There are similarities, Tommy. You cannot deny that there are similarities. There are parallels between those movies and this movie. But yes, so it starts off with a big earthquake that happens while the villain is being introduced. The villain, his character's name is Young Gisu. Evil scientist type. But he's introduced as just a guy that's trying to save his dying daughter by creating a serum of some kind. You know it's bad news when it's a serum. Yeah. It's a serum situation. So, but then there's a big earthquake that that happens and then we're thrust into the Ma Dong-suk's character's world. So his character's name is Nam-san. So basically he, along with his well-meaning partner, character's name is Choi Ji-won, played by Lee Jung-young. They are in this wasteland together and they're hunters by profession. So they hunt animals for meat and for skins, I guess. And they trade them off to the other settlers for various goods. So they introduce, because they're fighting a crocodile. They're fighting a big crocodile or alligator. Yeah. Maybe it's an alligator. I don't know.
Well, are the alligators in, or is there crocodiles in Korea? I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah,
I don't know if either of those are. It's a big,
it's a big lizard, which I guess is a theme because they eventually fight lizard zombie people.
Yes.
I watched this movie twice. I watched this the first time with the Sun Man. And it was like pretty late at night. I think we had just watched something else. I think we watched The Beekeeper, actually. That's probably why I should have talked about that movie. That's a really fun action movie as well. But no, we just watched The Beekeeper. We're kind of in an action movie role mindset. So, yeah, we watched it. And I thought the movie was really fun at first. Mm. And I was like, I didn't initially think I would have that much to say about this movie. Maybe we won't like talk about it. But yeah, this movie was quite popular on Netflix.
That's why we're talking about it for clout and other reason.
Because, I was honestly quite surprised because it was regularly top 10, like in Australia at least. I think it really, I didn't think there were that many people that liked Ma Dong-suk or liked post-apocalyptic zombie violence.
Sure.
But I guess there is. And I watched it again. And I actually enjoyed it more the second time. I think it's because I knew exactly what I was going to get.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy squishy action.
Yeah, you kind of lean into the action side of things, right?
Yeah. There's a scene with Ma Dong-suk holding a shotgun and shooting a lot of like zombie people and evil soldiers. And it's just so satisfying.
It's very good.
It's just like,
the action in this can't really be faulted. I have one minor criticism, but for the most part, it's suitably crunchy when he's punching people and it's suitably squishy when he's shooting and stabbing people. It's good to watch.
It's so much fun to watch. And I really like the doctor.
He's so good. What I like about this film is how unambiguously evil all the bad guys are.
But you know the thing about their unambiguous evilness is like, because they're essentially like tricking this settlement or this apartment block of people. They're kind of lying to them. but they're always putting on like the government face, and they do the switching so well between like him like hating the people that he's like working for, but there's a bit where it's kind of moving ahead, but he's like really frustrated with like one of the parents, and he's so unambiguously evil, but he's so into being frustrated that I felt frustrated for him. I felt like, I kind of get you, man, because like, fuck, these people.
Yeah, because there's just a lot of shit happening, and he's just like, yeah, fucking hell. just do what you're told, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just funny. It was really funny that I almost like sympathized with him. It's like, he's trying to do something great, and you're sitting there just like, you know, oh, I want to see my daughter. It's just like, fuck, these guys, man, just fucking. I was like,
stay in your lane, mate. God.
Yeah. And I think that we've talked about this in some other episodes, but the trend, I guess, ever since maybe the early 2010s of having the, or more, maybe more popularizing the villain that has more depth, more character of depth, you know, they have a reason for being evil.
Sure. Like your Killmongers or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even your Thanoses. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm kind of sick of it a little bit now.
Uh-huh.
These days, I generally just like, this guy is evil. I mean, you can even argue that Jung Gi-soo, actually, he has a reason why he's doing it, but he's still just fucking evil.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm just like, you're evil because you want to be evil, and that's fine. And you just thrive off being evil.
And the actor is having a lot of fun with it as well. I think that really helps sell it. Like, he's so unhinged in this movie. Yeah, like you said, his performance is so manic. Like, he'll go from evil, like, ranting about, like, the experiments he's doing. And then when he has to, like, talk to the people that he's tricking, he, like, switches to, like, customer service mode. And but there's a layer of frustration underneath that customer service mode. Where he's kind of, like, trying to brush them off and trying his best to hide, like, how fucking pissed off he is at all these people. But... it's just really funny. He's just got this smile plastered on his face. And the lead, like the teacher as well, she's got like this unnatural smile just stuck on her face for the whole movie. And it's really...
I was gonna say about her. I don't think I can see the name on the wiki. Oh, no. Jung Young-nam as a teacher.
Yep.
I think that's her character. She's just a teacher. Because, I mean, the plot first opens up, or one of the, I guess the inciting incident is Ma Dong Seok's character and his lackey. They're good friends with, what's that character's name?
Han Sun-ah.
Yeah, Sun-ah, that's it. So Sun-ah and her grandmother, and they're like, good friends with them. And they're coming home one day after butchering crocodiles and whatnot. And they see like this group of people like approached, talking to them. Mm. And then they think, oh, something, what's going on here? And the grandma's like, oh, don't worry, these are like nice people. The camera like cuts to this like medium close up of the teacher, and then she does that. You talked about that like fake smile, and I just laughed because you know something. It's obviously, you know what you're watching, and of course, a plot has to get moving on, but you would just be like, nah, man. And you've seen it so many times in Korean films when loan sharks come in and like, yeah, look, if you sign this thing, you can get this and this and this. And it's a trope by Korean standards.
Yeah.
So this kind of customer service goading and then the losing your shit after, like later when it doesn't happen. So it's very enjoyable. I think...
like, they're not even trying to hide how evil they are. There's a point where they're, like, walking these people back to the apartment where they just kind of give up any kind of pretense. And they're just we're evil, but you're coming with us anyway.
I was watching the Grindhouse movies, the Tarantino and Rodriguez ones.
Yeah.
And this movie really reminded me of those movies is because this movie has this kind of self-awareness that it's a very tongue-in-cheek premise.
Pretty tongue-in-cheek. I would say less tongue-in-cheek than the Grindhouse movies. Less than
Grindhouse, Grindhouse is more in that stylized sense, but you know exactly what you're getting into, and the storytelling is quite simple. Mm. The dialogue is just like I guess it's not natural, but it's quite theatrical, but like cool. Like, you know, Ma Dong Seok has these little one-liners here and there.
Yeah.
And like the plot, it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't matter because it's just like moving forward. You just want to watch Ma Dong Seok like beat up a bunch of dudes.
Mm.
So it's not taking itself too seriously, and I kind of like the feel of these kind of movies when it's just like, yeah, look, we're not trying to make a movie that's going to save anyone's lives or anything. We're not going to win any Oscars, but we're just going to have a good time.
Sure.
And just have fun with it. Yeah.
Sometimes a movie can just be entertainment, right? Yeah. And I think that's what,
like, this movie is pure entertainment. Yeah. I mean, there's probably some underlying message, but it's, you know, don't trust the Korean government officials. Which is probably just a
don't drink the water. Don't drink the water, guys.
Drink the water. Yeah. But
I do have a few minor criticisms of this film, because like you, I was a little bit disappointed the first time I watched it. I think the reason is maybe I was expecting more of a straight-laced kind of action thriller, like more of an Extraction, but post-apocalypse kind of situation. And then when I got like zombies that aren't really zombies, you know, it's kind of like, it was a little bit of a letdown, I think, at first. But the second time I watched it, I kind of skimmed it, but I was having a lot more fun with it, I think. Like you said, you just know what you're getting into at that point. Mm. Still, some of my criticisms still hold up. It still has like that Netflix tint to it.
I think so.
And that's kind of like a little bit grading.
I feel like it has the Netflix tint, but it doesn't look as... It doesn't have that, like, artificial refined, clean Netflix look. I still feel like this has some kind of elements of creativity. Like, yeah, it feels like I'm watching a grindhouse movie. Mm. It doesn't have that, like, you know, film...
Yeah, it's a little bit, like...
grain look. Yeah. But it does look like a little bit dirty, I would say. So it didn't bother me too much. It's not as clean as something like, say, like One Piece.
I think some parts kind of reminded me of One Piece. I think like the long shots of the scenery, because, you know, that a lot of that is CGI, and there's like kind of like a smooth texture to it that is a little bit like, uncanny.
It's a bit jarring.
But like, I mean, like all the action set pieces were fine. I think, like, I really like zombies when they're shooting them, I think. Like, it's kind of satisfying to watch zombies get riddled with bullets and shotgunned and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if it works for, like, fist fighting. I think there's something a little bit unsatisfying watching Ma Dong Seok punch, like, zombies, and they just keep getting up. I think I much prefer him just one hit KOing just human grunts, you know what I mean? Like, there's a scene in this movie where him and his friends like confront a big gang of human raiders. And that's super fun to watch because he's just like schooling everyone and like one hit KOing them and just go down like a sack of potatoes. But then when he's like fighting zombies, you know, the fact that he can't really one hit KO them, it's not as satisfying for me personally to watch.
I don't know, he like smashes a guy's head with a fucking, like, the back of his like shotgun and knocks his fucking head off. That's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, but it's like the initial fight where he fights like two of them.
Those two guys.
And it goes on for a while. They just keep getting up. And one of the last fight scenes as well, where he's just like, because he doesn't take that much damage either. So, like, it would be a different story.
He's pretty OP.
Yeah, it would be a different story if it was a less one-sided fight. But it's kind of like just him, like, basically just punching the same guy over and over, and the guy just keeps getting up. I don't know. It's just not. I don't know. I just prefer to see him fight a bunch of human goons, like the Roundup kind of thing. But he does that a lot in this film, which is fun to watch.
I'm not sure if I had that issue. I enjoyed him just like punching people as much as he punches anyone in the other movies. Because those, you know, that's what the Roundup is for. You want to watch him knock out a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, but it's different. I think the way the Roundup movies sell it is that kind of doe-eyed expression that you get when he punches
You get a little bit of that, like the scene where he rounds up like all the gang.
Yeah, so you get it whenever he's fighting humans, but when he's fighting the zombies, you don't really get that. And I think that's kind of an element that was missing for me. I also don't think this movie went hard enough on the Resident Evil stuff. I think I'll have to talk about that in spoilers, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting now that I know that it's based off Concrete Utopia, which doesn't look anything like a Resident Evil. Yeah, I'll have to watch it because I don't really know that much about that movie, but that was like a pretty critical darling of last year in Korea anyway. But like was nominated for a bunch of awards and whatnot, and I don't see this movie being nominated for very much. Even though like I would say I quite like the side characters. I mean, they don't have the deepest characters, but their fight choreography is quite good.
So Choi Ji-won, he uses a bow and arrow for a bit of it. I think he's supposed to be the more agile one of the two. He's like the bumbling sidekick, though, basically.
Oh, he was part of UKIS. You remember those guys?
Ah, UKIS, Brave Sound. Okay.
He was fucking part of UKIS. That's what happened after UKIS.
Well, that's where that agility comes from, then, Tommy.
But like Madong Sok is just faster than him anyway.
It's true. Madong Sok's pretty quick for a big guy.
You just have to believe that Madong Sok can like run really fast and like dodge like a slew of guys with like a lot of agility as well.
That's that boxing background. Yeah. But Lee and Ho as well, she does a lot of fighting. She does a lot of head scissors takedowns in this movie.
Yeah. We were struggling to find much information about this actress because we were looking before. She hasn't really been in that much, so good effort for it. It looks like she's doing most of the physicality of the role. Her acting was fine. It's not like she's gonna have an Odesu moment, but yeah, from what I saw, she did some pretty cool.
She's
like,
that girl in Project Wolf Hunting. There you go.
Is it?
Yeah, she's in Project Wolf Hunting. I think the same kind of character, that character, the female soldier character.
I don't remember, that was a couple of years ago when I watched that movie. Yeah.
A pretty similar movie to this, actually.
Yeah, pretty similar movie, yeah. I think I prefer this movie over that one.
It's got Ma Dong-suk in it.
It's got Ma Dong-suk in it. But yeah, I mean, the main draw card is Ma Dong-suk just knocking out a lot of people in this show. And yeah, the fight scene in the compound when he's like killing all the lizard zombie people. Mm. It's just so satisfying.
Mm.
Shotguns and zombies is a winning formula.
Yeah, I think that's something we haven't seen from him.
Yeah, using a gun. Yeah, not really. Yeah. He's just so badass, man.
Pretty badass.
This fucking guy. Yeah.
Chops the head off that alligator. Chops his head right off.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that you wanted to see more hunting,
Oh, yeah,
I think, yeah. That would be cool to see them actually, kind of go more on that kind of, what's that show, Supernatural, that Dean and Sam. They're kind of on the road.
Yeah, I think that's what I was expecting, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, going into it. It was him hunting, like, post-apocalyptic monsters. And instead I got, kind of just soldiers zombies but aren't really zombies. Kind of zombie monsters.
Yeah. do you think if this show had a bigger budget, they could have, like, leaned in more to the Resident Evil aspect of it?
Yeah, maybe. I think even like scaling it back a little bit. Oh, it is a pretty small scale, I guess. I don't know, man. Just give the zombies a bit of makeup, maybe. I don't know. I feel like there was something a bit like generic about it all. Like the post-apocalyptic future is kind of a generic situation as well. The group of fanatics that are in the apartments, kind of generic. I think what sells this for me is the action and just the performances, I guess.
Yeah. I think the film itself is a pretty generic kind of movie.
Mm.
I'd agree with that. I think that's why initially we were kind of not really going to talk about it. And yeah, for some reason, when I first watched it, like, I was a little bit disappointed, but I'm not sure why, because it kind of has everything that I was expecting.
Mm.
But somehow I was expecting a bit more. But then when I watched it again, maybe it's just I had seen just a lot of unstoppable manly action in one night. So maybe it was like, yeah. Like, yeah, if you want to see someone who's extremely OP, the beekeeper.
Yeah.
Jason Statham, the beekeeper. Like, he just unstoppable. Like, he has no adversary in that movie, like, at all.
Yeah, the actor Jason Statham has no adversary.
He kind of almost becomes an antagonist to a point.
Because it's just so mean. It's just mean when it gets to a point where it's just like, oh, please stop hitting them. I think they've had enough, Jason.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when they've had enough. Yeah. I'm the beekeeper. I keep bees.
Oh, man. I should have talked about that in the one I've been watching. Would have made more sense. Maybe another time. Yeah, you'd enjoy that movie. It's fun.
Yeah, I think if you haven't watched Badland Hunters and you want to watch it, it's a lot of fun. I think maybe go into the film with the mindset that it's just a bit of dumb fun.
Watch it with a couple of friends and have a few drinks, get some snacks. It's that kind of show that you can just watch and just
enjoy the cackling villains.
Yeah, Junkie Suit. Yeah, I love these kind of villains. It's so funny. I just we might talk a bit more about him in the spoiler part.
Shall we talk spoilers then?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're doing big time spoilers for Badland Hunters.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really that much to spoil if you think about it.
Yeah,
you pretty much know exactly what's going to happen.
So I guess basically Gisu's motivation to do all of his wild, crazy experiments is that he wants to save his daughter, who is basically just a torso. So, this guy comes so close to being a Resident Evil villain. Like, so he checks a lot of boxes. He's like, he's unambiguously evil. He's a scientist. He's leading a group of fanatics. His motivation for doing the evil experiments is bringing a loved one back to life who is just a torso.
Yeah.
even if he did bring her back to life, it would be a terrible situation. She'd be like be some kind of abomination. So it was a little bit disappointing to me, like his end. When the heroes have basically cornered him. Yeah, they've like ruined his operation. They've got him on the ropes. The next logical step would be for him to inject himself with his own serum and turn into a final boss Resident Evil creature, right? But it doesn't happen, Tavi. It's so disappointing.
He kind of like has a death super. I actually quite like on the second view. I quite enjoyed this demise a little bit. It's a little bit disappointing, but I liked when he's just trying to cheese it, basically. The torso and the like, this big briefcase.
Yeah,
and then he's basically confronted by all the people that he's been lying to about their kids, and then they all like start kicking him and shit. And then they knock over his briefcase that has all these vials that is keeping him alive.
Yeah,
and then but he's also because he got tricked by Suna. And he injected like something in him that he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like flaking and shit.
Yeah.
But then he just kind of like, it's that point again where I could feel his frustration. I was like, fuck, like, get these fucking people off.
He kind of just snaps. Like once all the, once his operation is kind of exposed, he's just like, yeah, fuck it. Fuck you. Fuck everybody in this place.
And he just picks up a gun and starts gunning down a lot of people. But then, he's just basically shot in the head by Dong Seok.
I mean, he accidentally, inadvertently puts bullet holes in his daughter's, like, case thing. So, like, all the shit's leaking out. And, like, that presumably means that she's beyond saving.
Dead.
And then, like, he has a bit of a meltdown, but yeah, he just gets shot in the head. Like, even when he's shot in the head, there's still hope for him to kind of come back as a Resident Evil monster, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all the pieces were there.
Yeah. I think it's just, I think that's a budget.
It's got to be budget, right? Like,
it's pretty anticlimactic, like, if you think about it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because you want to see that big monster.
Like, how fun would that have been to see Madame Sook try to fight a Resident Evil final boss? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with you on that. It's definitely a missed opportunity. And I think it is just budget.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, they just didn't have it.
It gave me a greater appreciation of Paul W.S. Anderson's Resident Evil series. Because, like, as stupid as those films are, they work. Like, some of it works, you know? And I think, like, this movie comes so close to being great. And I think what's missing is just that extra bit of, like, Paul W.S. Andersonness, where he's just like, fuck it. Just put a fucking crazy monster in this. Don't even try to explain it. Like, I think that's kind of, like, the fun of, like, a lot of those Resident Evil films. And I think, like, this movie, it's, like, the action is better than a Resident Evil film. The performance, like, every other aspect of it is better than those films.
It's better,
So if they had have added that extra little kick, it could have been really great.
They just don't have the American money, man. They can't afford all that, like, VFX and shit. That stuff's expensive.
I mean, hopefully, like, if this movie does well, they can put a bit more budget into the next one and maybe we'll see that.
Yeah, hopefully,
because that would be...
That'd be cool.
That would just be excellent. I would love to see Ma Dong Suk try to fight one of those things.
Yeah. Right, fight a big Resident Evil monster.
Yeah.
And maybe he teams up with Lee Byung-hun, who's in Concrete Utopia.
Yeah.
Though I'm not sure...
If that character survives that...
I'm not sure if that movie, That's just so... I'm really curious to watch it. I might actually... I think I've got it somewhere. I might actually watch Concrete Utopia on this recording, because it's just... It just looks... so different. Maybe there's like Resident Evil lizard monsters in Concrete Utopia that I'm not aware of. Like, what the fuck? Why
it's kind
of
like,
why have we not covered this yet?
It's kind of like if we found out that The Last of Us was like a spin-off of, I don't know, Wall Street or something. Like, sure, it could be. But you know, like, it's so different, you know?
I mean, they sort of tried to do that with Barbie, how it was kind of connected to what was that movie, Adam Driver, that was in my top 10?
65?
No, White Noise.
Okay,
yeah. They said, like, I remember I was reading something because, you know, Greta Gerwig is the writer. They said, they said that they're connected somehow.
Sure.
But I think it's just like visually, but it's not, I think it was just a little bit of fluff to kind of talk about Barbie.
Right.
They're both very different movies.
Oh, actually, there is a couple of movies that have a strange connection. Oh, yeah, I remember. So Michael Bay's first Transformer film has this bully character in it who's bullying Shia LaBeouf's character. And that actor plays the same character in, I think it's one of the Friday the 13th movies or a Halloween movie.
Oh, really?
I think it's a Friday the 13th movie.
It'd probably be like a Platinum Dunes movie,
like
under Michael Bay's company.
Right. So, but it's the same character name. So, like, canonically, those two movies are linked in the same universe.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It's kind of like if 28 Days Later was connected to the Sandra Bullock 28 Days movie. Did you? A man of mine told me years ago that his parents went out to the movies to go watch 28 Days Later. They didn't know anything about 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
And they just thought, oh, it must be a sequel to 28 Days that had the Sandra Bullock movie.
No.
And then they just see, like, Cillian Murphy's dick and then, you know, like, people gouging each other's eyes out and stuff. And they obviously hated the movie because it was completely different. But I find that really funny. It's like, at what point would you, like, walk out, I guess? Because
it'd be the eye gouging part, presumably.
Yeah. They didn't walk out. They just stayed for the whole thing.
I mean, it's a terrific movie, even if it isn't a sequel to 28 Days.
Yeah, another movie with zombies. And they're making a third one as well.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently. Hopefully Danny
Boyle and Alex Garland returning. Yeah. That's
maybe Cillian Murphy, but we'll see. Yeah.
Maybe Bardock Song. Are we gonna see a crossover? Mardong Sok in 28 days. I mean, it's not the first time that Mardong Sok has dealt with zombies.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say actually. Yeah. So you were saying this movie has been in like the top 10 list for a while. Yeah.
Oh, it's not anymore, but it was odd longer than I expected it to be.
Right, yeah. Right. And I don't know. Like maybe it's because Mardong Sok has had form with zombies in Train to Busan before.
Yeah. Well, Train to Busan's on Netflix at the moment.
It's also a very popular movie, right? Even in the West, it is.
Yeah, it's one of the most popular Korean movies ever.
But
yeah.
I don't know if the marketing for Badland Hunters featured zombies. Because I went into it not expecting zombies.
Oh, really? No, I knew zombies were going to be in there, which is why I was a bit surprised that you didn't know. Because I saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, yeah, zombies. Because he's like shotgunning a bunch of zombies in the trailer. I'm like, okay.
I guess I wasn't paying attention.
You on TikTok, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, because they're dressed in military fatigues as well. Maybe I just thought they were just soldiers. I don't know. Because I think Train to Busan zombies work because they are clearly zombies and they move like zombies as well. Like the body acting in it is superb.
Yeah.
Whereas in this movie, they kind of just run. And you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a little bit lazy, but again, probably budget constraints.
Yeah, they didn't have the budget that I guess the Train to Busan 2 had, where that would have been better suited.
I haven't seen that film.
Did you? it's not great.
Yeah.
It's honestly more in line with Badland Hunters than like what original Train to Busan was.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking about it now. There's a couple of like pretty cool action scenes that I remember.
Hmm.
There's definitely a significantly weaker story, and it's just like, from what I remember, it's this guy and they're going back to the island to like rescue someone or to get something, similar to maybe Army of the Dead, kind of story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember there's like this really big car chase scene. Even though there was a lot of CGI that kind of muddled it a bit, it was kind of cool.
Mm.
And there was like this arena where there's this writhing mass of zombie bodies
that's fun
in a big bowl together, which is kind of very Resident Evil like.
Yeah.
So I think the director was going for something a little bit different, which is just did not have as much heart as what Train to Busan did, which is why it was probably not that well received. I'd probably watch it again just to see if it's like kind of that guilty pleasure.
Maybe it's better as a standalone film as opposed to a sequel.
Yeah. It was tacked on because producers are like, oh, Train to Busan successful. Do another one now. It's like, oh, fuck. All right, let's do just a pretty simple action movie. And then no one liked it. I remember watching it with Boone a few years back and we didn't really like it back then. Mm. But I've got a bit of a guilty pleasure for these kind of movies.
Mm.
So maybe I might enjoy it again on a rewatch. It's just a bit of dumb fun. Yeah.
Mm. Would you say that this movie is better than that movie?
At this point, yeah, I would say that. Because you've got Ma Dong Seok. It's a lot of this movie is sold solely on the premise that he has a big punch.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a big action dude.
Yeah.
And he has so much charisma, that guy.
Mm. I love how him and his people have discovered the secret to success for him is just leaning into the big punches. You know, their studio is called Big Punch Productions.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
That's such a cool name. It's just like, yeah. And the thing is, only his company could really be called that because it's just, yeah, it's a big punch and it's just, it's fucking cool. Because
there are a lot of big guys. And The Rock is a big guy. But it would definitely not be as satisfying just seeing The Rock like one-hit KOing people as satisfying as Ma Dong Seok doing it is.
I feel like I like Ma Dong Seok more because he kind of looks more average, I guess.
Mm.
Like he doesn't have like the physique as well as The Rock or Statham.
It might be Tom Cruise. You might not expect him to do a big punch on you. because he's a big guy. Yeah,
he's a big guy. Yeah, but he harkens back to just like all the fun that I have watching like a 90s action hero back then, like a Kurt Russell or like a Stallone or even a Schwarzenegger, to that matter. You know, they're not necessarily the best actors, but they're just like really good at what they do.
I think it's because Ma Dong-seok kind of has like a kind looking face as well, and he doesn't lean into like the aggressiveness of like a Rock or a Statham. So like I think that really sells the big punches.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think he's just I think he's just a really good guy. I think he's just seems like it. Like someone you just want to have a beer with at the end of the day, and yeah, just I don't know. I really just dig Ma Dong-seok. Yeah, cool guy. And I'm pretty sure he's not going to be too far off the trail of this year, because I mean he's got like two roundup movies coming out, like one this year, one next year.
Dude's working
we'll
a lot.
Definitely, we'll definitely be covering. Yes, because those movies. For are sure, just
I
like,
could watch Ma Dong-seok punch people in the face all day, man. I don't think I ever get sick of it. Man, that's the best scene in this film, is just when he's just lined up this line of gangsters and he's just like questioning them and then punching them in the face. It's so violent, but it's so funny.
Good stuff. Yeah.
I don't have much more to say about this film, Tavi. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's all I've got to say about this one.
Yeah. A lot of fun, though.
Yeah, a lot of fun, yeah. It's not particularly like as a movie that's going to save your life or change your soul. It's not great.
Yeah.
As a bit of fun, yeah, go watch it. Go have a good time.
I just hope they go a bit harder in the sequel, if there is a sequel.
Yeah.
Spend a little bit more money on CGI creatures. Even just put some like weird Mad Max costumes in the mix, I reckon.
Yeah.
Just kind of make the post-apocalyptic thing a bit more fun.
Have a big like car chase, you reckon?
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
In the desert. Yeah. That'd be cool.
but this is a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start, yeah. No, good fun. I like it. I definitely recommend it. Yeah. Just know what you're getting into, I suppose, and yeah, just enjoy yourself. Yeah.
All right, guys. But what did you think of Badland Hunters? Do you think it's a really fun time, or did you find it a little bit mid? Let us know. You can get in touch with us at twoasianblokes@gmail.com. You can join our Facebook group to be part of the conversation. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok to see what we're up to. Thank you, as always, guys, for listening. Until next time.
See you later, guys.
Don't drink the water.
Don't drink the water. Yeah.